turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. I'll read verses 13 and 14. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I spent a lot of time on the reprobate, which is the way Paul starts out this chapter, on the middle part of it. He's trying to give encouragement to these Thessalonian believers, who some had told him that the day of the Lord had already passed. And he's trying to tell them that no, the day of the Lord has not passed. And it still hasn't. It's coming. But that day shall not come without a departure first. And then these things are going to happen. People are going to get strong delusion. Oh, from who? From God. That they should believe a lie. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth. Why didn't they not receive the love of the truth? God didn't give it to them. Then he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Yeah. We've gone from the reprobate to the elect. Yeah. If you got the elect, there has to be the reprobate. And I'm not going to talk about election. Well, yeah, I am. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Yeah. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And this, the reason why it kind of got on my mind, even beyond the contrast between the reprobate and the elect, which is perfectly clear here by Paul, is that here is a definition of sanctification, excuse me, of salvation in two parts. Regeneration and conversion. That's what we call it. Here, Paul speaks of it as sanctification of the Spirit and the belief, the faith of the truth.
Amen. That's right.
Now, both. These are those who receive the love of the truth. And that's what Paul said. You're not like these other fellows before who didn't receive it. Why? God chose you to salvation. They were not chosen because of salvation.
Right.
That's the big lie now.
Yeah.
Walter, you remember what a pastor of a church we used to attend told us one time. I believe in Bible predestination. He believed and taught that God chose you. Well, he didn't really teach it much because he didn't talk much about God choosing, but what he told us, God chose you because you believed.
That's what he said.
That's the way they teach it. That's not what this says.
No.
It's not even close to what this says, because God did not choose anyone on the basis of their works.
Right.
And Paul is writing explicitly against that here. These Thessalonians were chosen to salvation. And then he breaks that salvation down to sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of those are the work of man.
Right.
And I think I said it last week, I for a long time had looked at this wrong. When I would read it and say sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, I thought it was the verb, believing the truth. That part is also so, but that's not why God chose us.
Right.
If you receive the love of the truth, if you receive sanctification of the Spirit, if you receive faith of the truth, you will believe. Where Paul writes the next verse, whereunto he called you. Walter, I did look a little further into this. We were talking, I called him the other day on the phone. We were talking about grammar. And it's very expressly plain in the Greek grammar that the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief, the faith of the truth, are separate. See, most places, even grace places, want to lump it together. Sanctification, Spirit, belief, truth, boom!
Right.
Boom, boom! That's not what Paul's writing here.
No.
In the grammar, okay, in the Greek, you've got, now this is just, I don't want to be too picky, but I am. But as far as sentence structure is concerned, you have the subject, you have a verb, and you have the object, the direct object. Well, in this sentence, it's God hath chosen you. Mm-hmm. Well, in the Greek, actually, you have two direct objects. I looked. To salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Both you and salvation are the direct object of God choosing you. And then we have the indirect objects, which relate to the direct object.
Right.
Sanctification and belief.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have what they call, in Greek, the genitive case, which is possessing. It has to do with possessing this stuff. Guess what that is? That's the Spirit. And it's in the neuter. Now, sanctification is in the masculine. Belief and truth are in the feminine. They are both part of salvation, but they are separate, even in Paul's sentence. It's there. There's a word they put in the middle there. It's called and. It's a conjunction. And I still got that stupid thing from the TV in my head about conjunction, junction.
Yeah.
What's your function?
Yeah.
Hooking up words and phrases and clauses in complex sentences. Sanctification and belief.
Right. And belief.
Salvation.
Right.
That's what we can know of salvation. That is whereunto we are called. The truth. Now, called by the gospel there is relating back to the belief of the truth.
Right, belief of the truth.
It's the truth. And you will believe it, verb. Why? Because you have the sanctification of the Spirit.
Right.
And you have the faith of God's elect.
Right, that's it.
We are called unto the truth, not unto error. But that, even in the grammar, where it had sanctification as masculine and belief of the truth, feminine, lets you know that these are two separate things. But they are both, because the Spirit is in the neuter case, the Spirit applies to all of it.
Right.
It's the work of the Spirit. It's not the work of man.
Right.
And that's perfectly illustrated in John chapter 3, and I want to look at that for just a little bit. Because we're talking about the work of the Spirit. And it's very, hopefully, very familiar piece of Scripture. Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, oh, how can I do this, blah. enter into my mother's womb again and be born. Nicodemus was a little snarky. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You have to be born of the Spirit, born from above. It's not of man. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is, I believe, the sanctification of the Spirit. It's the gift of life to the dead, alien sinner who is a child of God.
Yeah.
Even while dead, alien, and still sinner, the child of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born from above. And guess what? The wind blows where it listeth, and you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the Spirit's work. Then if you keep going just a little bit, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now that is believing, the verb. But here we also have regeneration and conversion. Just as what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians. And this is the salvation that every child of God has been chosen to. It's the work of God. It's not the work of men. The word hath chosen, Walter and I talked about that. That's the aorist tense. That is completely, totally, and irrevocably in the past.
Right.
Nobody's being chosen now.
No.
Nobody's going to be chosen in the future.
Right.
That part's done.
Yeah.
Completely. Amen. And they are chosen to salvation.
Yeah.
And by who's the subject? God.
Yeah.
And by whose work? On the basis of whose work? God's.
Mm-hmm.
The sanctification of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And the faith of the truth. Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
And I like what John 3 says there. First of all, you have to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Then he says it again. You have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. One act by God, two results.
Yeah.
Regeneration and conversion. To see and to enter. One act of God, life and faith. A man has no part in any of this that Paul is writing in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, except that he does receive it when God gives it to him. That's the point. The belief of the truth. Are both in the feminine case here. They are related. But the truth is in. Where is it? I forgot. I wrote this down because I don't remember this stuff. Now, belief is dative. That makes it an indirect object of salvation and you. And truth is what they call genitive also. And genitive shows possession. the truth is possessed by faith. The now. The truth is possessed by faith. And we believe the truth because of the faith that God has given us. And it becomes our possession. He gave it to us. Sanctification is the gift of God, and belief, faith, is the gift of God. And we learn of both only after we have been converted. That's when we learn of them. That's not when they happen. Now, what about the gospel? I believe, just like I said before, the gospel is necessary for conversion, which means it is necessary for salvation, but it's not necessary for regeneration or sanctification of the Spirit. And I've heard too many people give too many testimonies of people that I actually have a good hope in, that they figured out later. Because it's kind of tough to know what's going on when it's going on, Mason. But I figured out later God had done something for me then. Because I was acting different. I was thinking different. I was seeing things I had never seen before. I had heard the truth, and it disturbed me. It wasn't actually pleasant in a lot of ways. The gospel is necessary for believing the truth, for therein the truth is revealed. And it is witnessed in us by the Spirit of God. In us, His Spirit teaches us the things of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth that we believe. But the gospel is not our salvation. The gospel is the good news of our salvation.
Amen.
And everyone who has been given the sanctification of the Spirit, life from God, and the belief of the truth, faith, which is the gift of God, will receive the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They will receive the truth. Because it will call to their soul, it will call to their heart, and it will call to your mind. If you're regenerated and converted. And those alone, those that are regenerated and converted, can see, can hear, and can understand and believe the truth. No one else can. God has from the beginning chosen His people, His children, to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Anything else is a lie. And that's what the world believes. Regeneration is a one-time work. Conversion is an ongoing work. We possess the truth. And the truth possesses us in Christ. Conversion continues on. I believe the truth every day. I believe Christ every day. And I want to believe Christ every day. First Peter 1 and 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." There is going to be a completion to our salvation. It's coming. And that's part of what He has chosen us to. 2.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is this. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth is the work of God. And he will perform it unto the day of Christ. He's promised that to us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but we have treasure. It is riches that we have in the knowledge of Christ. We have been given things that the world knows nothing about. And we have been given the Son of God, that the world does not know him. And when you talk to them about him, they hate him. They won't have him, and they won't have you. They have received not the love of the truth. They will not have the truth, but buddy, they will have just about any lie you can come up with. And they do. I am confident, though, with the Apostle Paul, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform that good work in you until the day of Christ. He's promised it. He'll perform it. He's promised it. He'll do it. Known unto God are all his works, but from the beginning. He is performing the good work. He will keep performing the good work. He is our hope. He is our life. He is our love. He is everything. You know, we say that, and I mean it. Well, by him all things consist. He was before all things. He created all things, and by him all things consist. That includes us. Now, I know it includes the world, the earth, the universe, everything on it, everything in it, everybody. He has power over all flesh. But he has power over us. And if he has performed a good work in you, he will perform that good work in you until the day. And then on that day, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm not too much worried about what happens afterwards. I know some things. I've been taught some things. But Walter, I remember that when I was first, that was one of the first things when I was converted that I had read that it just kind of got a hold of me, you know, because I was actually in that Armenian church. And they were using the Great Tribulation as a hammer to beat over people's heads to try to get people to get themselves saved.
Yeah.
They didn't teach that God had chosen from the beginning to sanctification or to salvation through sanctification, spirit, and belief of the truth. They didn't teach that the way this book does. They said, well, if you don't want to go through the Great Tribulation, you better make your decision now. They normally didn't state it quite that bluntly, but that was the gist of it. But I remember reading when it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what I'm hoping for. I want to see Him. And I want to be with Him. And the world does not want to be with Him. They wouldn't mind escaping the great tribulation. They wouldn't mind escaping hell. But they don't want to be with the God of this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? If they don't want to, they're not going to. Because He can make you change you want to. He'll change your want to is what He'll do. Or He'll make you willing to go, yeah. Yeah, He makes you willing to come. And He gives it to you so you can come. And you will come. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for You, my Lord and my Savior. You have purchased Your people, paid for their sins, and are saving them now. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done, for what You will do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.